dumplings. Welcome to the Let's Get Ugly podcast, where we spill the latest beauty, lifestyle, and wellness secrets that aren't always pretty, but always 100% real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo who always keep it super authentic, sassy, and really silly, too.
That's right. We make a lot of bad jokes, and we are chatting with some amazing industry insiders that are going to spill the tea on some really interesting and fascinating stories.
And we are really here to dispel any misconceptions we have around any of the creative industries and just cut through all the BS that's out there.
So come join us, grab your favorite drink, and get ready to embrace the ugly truth. Are you ready to get ugly? Let's get ugly.
We have an amazing guest today.
Prachi Mashru, the founder of This.
We will be talking about community building and diving into the creative industries, maybe having some controversial discussions about that, but also have some fun insights for you all today. So let's get into it. Prachi, welcome. We're so excited.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to be here.
Amazing. So let's get straight into it.
Definitely. Like, no messing around here. No, I'm kidding.
We're probably messing around a lot.
So you created your own agency, This, and that is a huge milestone. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And you have a really amazing focus on supporting and building homegrown brands and artists. And it's been really exciting to see what you've done so far. But what inspired you to start?
So I always knew that I wanted to be in like PR in some way and like artist and brand development. So I kind of always had a feeling that that's the route I was going to take. And then when I was in London, I was doing it for bigger brands there as a publicist, working for like everyone under the sun in the UK. And I had a lot of friends back home that were building out brands and artists specifically that were trying to make it big. And I just thought that I'm wasting everything I know putting money and time and effort into a place that's not really mine because I'm not really from there. So I decided I'll move back, see if this works out. If not, I'll go back. But it worked out. So yeah, that's sort of
definitely working out. But no, I think it's really interesting to kind of go back to what you're familiar with and really foster all of the amazing talent that's here. Like genuinely, we're super impressed.
India is pretty amazing. I mean, I feel like the creative industry is just like taking off. 100%. And I feel like we're talking about a variety of different artists. We're talking music, we're talking, you know, actual art, we're talking interiors, we're talking influencers. What makes it so special to you to be here? I mean, you have been in the UK, you've seen that side of the world. What makes it so special to be representing India and the reason that you think it's a hotspot for international brands?
I mean, it definitely is a hotspot just because of the sheer amount of people. Like, if you're captivating 30% of any audience group, that's three times the amount of people anywhere abroad. So that's definitely why I think the numbers overpower everything, is why I think brands are like moving here and trying to build it out here. But I think more than anything, for me, it's I don't feel out of place. Like, I don't feel like I'm foreign in a place and I have to make it big and represent India. Because when you're here, everyone's Indian. Like, your USP when you're in UK is like you're a Desi person trying to do this thing in the creative industry. Over here, everyone's good. Everyone's Desi. You kind of have to figure out what's yours and how do you fit in without having that marginalized community to fall back on.
So what's been your biggest challenge then? Because if that's the case and, you know, you're here and you're no longer the minority, you're the majority. Yeah. What has been your biggest challenge to go from those two different mindsets?
I think my biggest identifier, obviously, in the UK was that I was Indian. But I never felt like a gender disbalance. But in India, I really face that people don't really take me seriously a lot when I'm in male-dominated spaces. Like, I think the brand and fashion space has enough women in it now, touch wood, so we have all of us. But I think with music specifically, in the business side of music specifically, I feel like it's so limited. There's just barely any girls. So in all these rooms, I think, I don't know, it just, they expect you to be there because you're there for the glitz and the glamour. And especially if you're like even a remotely conventionally attractive person, they're like not taking you seriously anymore.
Wow.
So I think being a girl, being a pretty girl is just,
it's just so hard. It's just so hard. No, but I think that's really interesting because it's like, how do you then make your mark in an industry that is male dominated? And like, what have you put in place to kind of overcome that challenge?
I mean, our company is completely female led. So we work primarily with women clients, and everyone I hire from like videographers to editors is always a girl. So that's one, my sort of contribution to the industry. But I think if you're good and if you block out the noise, like if you don't let the men in the room dictate how they think you should be, you'll be able to just leave a mark, even if it's, oh, I like hate her. Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah,
of course.
Like, oh, I hate her. Like, so I think if you have your head in the game a little bit and just block out the noise, just do what you're supposed to do and why you're there, I think you'll be able to leave enough of an impression. It's been my experience so far.
Yeah, and I think that's really admirable because I feel like often when you go into spaces that are quite male dominated or you feel out of place in an industry, whether it is your race, for example, like in the UK or that kind of a thing, a lot of people kind of hit a wall and then they're like, now what? And they don't think about what else they could do to kind of overcome it. So really, really admirable on that part, which is great.
So, living between UK and Mumbai, top three things of each place.
Of each place? Mm-hmm. Oh, in Mumbai, I have like my home and my car, and I don't have to worry about like getting things cleaned and the dishes. Like, that's like number one in Mumbai. Obviously, in Mumbai, my network's a lot stronger.
Right.
And I think food is better in India. So that's top three. UK, my closest friends are there. So that's the biggest one for me. I think people think way outside the box there because you're not stuck. Like with Mumbai, you're stuck with like licenses and what's not allowed and what's allowed and all of these things. In UK, that's not really there. Like freedom of speech and expression is still huge. And I guess going out and not running into like everybody you know, because London's that big.
Big enough.
Yeah.
But so, you know what? I still feel even in London, sometimes you get on the tube and you're like, I look like crap today. And then you bump into someone and you're like,
It's only when you're ugly.
Yes,
yeah.
It only
happens the day you're like, I hope I don't bump into anybody.
Yeah.
That day you're going to bump into everybody.
Yeah.
So. That's one. So that's the trick with London. It's like, oh, you're just not going to see anyone.
Never going to run into anybody.
Yeah, that's really not going to happen with me. I just can't. Let's move on to working with people. You are a networker. In my eye, I see you as an amazing networker. I mean, we went for dinner. Really randomly, very casually, with the dogs.
Obviously. Best dinner in London.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, sure, I'll meet you. Like, yeah, we can go for dinner. I don't mind. And I really do feel like networking is so your superpower. So tell me, based on how you work with so many different types of people, how do you foster and grow these relationships?
That's actually a really interesting one because I do get that a lot because I spend literally 80% of my day talking to people. But I'm like a born extrovert. Like my energy is like, I love learning things about people. So even if I'm like picking up like quirks and that sort of helps me maintain myself there, like I'll always be noticing and observing. But fostering that relationship is really hard. Like I am the worst texter in the entire world. I don't check my phone that much. I'm like she's the person of like, I'll post on Instagram and dip. So I don't know if you've reacted or, you know, I'm not that person. So I'm not good at fostering those relationships in your typical way of like, I don't check in, I don't text. But I think when I'm there, I'm really present. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I think the key to networking is to know that your intention shouldn't be transactional. Like if I met you guys to be like, oh, eventually we'll work together, this would have never happened.
True.
I met to like find out who you guys were and see if there's any sort of like authenticity with our natural relationship that can be built. So I think if you sort of keep what's supposed to happen outside of your head, those relationships will happen and they'll trust you and you'll trust them and you'll build them so naturally. So I've never had to actually foster those relationships, but obviously it's always good to like send flowers on someone's birthday and like keep like important things in mind. Like if somebody's hit a milestone, check in and be like, hey, congrats, that was really cool. So if you do notice things, I'm very big on like compliment them, tell them, and people will trust you if you're actually being who you are.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Unapologetic about
it. I'm stealing that.
Literally, no, these are tips to steal, guys, genuinely.
Yeah, remember
be out of a job.
Yeah. I just feel like something that you've touched on is like connection, right? And like really fostering that energy of connection rather than like this superficial connection. Because I feel like in the creative industries, like it doesn't matter whether you're in beauty or fashion or music or like whatever it is that you're in, we often have this facade, right? When you go to events and things like that. Yeah. And it's often like people might come off as very superficial at times because, but it's true.
It is. Because, no, wait, like, I'm just laughing because it is true. Like people can be so fake.
They can. And it's the worst. Like I'm not for that life, but like it is just the nature of the industry. So it's like, how do you kind of cut out that BS basically of like knowing like, okay, I'm going to be genuine and authentic the whole time and then like block out the superficial vibes.
Or do you do that? Or are you just like mates with everyone?
What's your mix. Vibe? It's a mix.
Ask the PR. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I'm a publicist. I'm not like, I literally always say this. I need a publicist because I just talk my shit and then I'm like always in trouble. But that's interesting. I think it's a mix. Like I know I can read the room and you know, like you know when you're supposed to play it up and you're supposed to play it down. So I think that is something that you have to do, unfortunately. So I feel like I am in the right rooms fake. Like I'll be like, okay, cool. I don't really need anything out of this room. So I don't really need to make the connections. But in the rooms that I am trying to make the connection, you just have to. Like I feel like you just have to be who you are. And as I said, it's the same thing. Don't sort of have that like, oh, this person's so big, I need to become friends with them. That's never gonna get you like
anywhere.
No, and I've noticed that a lot actually, like globally, like honestly, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
And people are like, they spot the big fish in the room.
Yeah.
And they like run towards them.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the more you do that, you're just gonna be like, do you remember when those Wattpad books and like fanfics?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm just going to be like reading a book at a concert, like be nonchalant about it. That's the way to do actual connections. Because if you actually don't care about who that person is online or off their numbers, but you care about what they are adding to your life as a friend or as an acquaintance, you're eventually going to, you know.
You figure it out.
Create an actual connection. But also for me, I do this a lot where I know when I'm talking to somebody for work, I won't even pretend to be friends with them. Like I'll immediately be like, this is a working
relationship.
Like I don't really care if we don't get a drink or a coffee. Like I'll just say, like there's been times where somebody's asked me for a drink. I'm like, oh, like what's up? Is there something you want to discuss? Or if I don't think that it's coming from a genuine place. So
you have a spidey sense for this. You just know.
I genuinely think my superpower is that I keep the best people around me. I don't think you can pick like a bad apple in my friend group, like and my work group. Like I mean, my job is being good at knowing people. So I would assume that I would have a spidey sense for it, I guess.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it so much. I mean, like, and I think what I loved, like even meeting one of your colleagues yesterday, was just the way that you guys vibe together as well. And I just feel like support is something that I can really see coming through with what you're doing, even with the events that you curate as well. So how do you do it? What's the magic behind that in terms of like creating a supportive environment for the people around you?
Like, I mean, I feel like my answers are going to be so repetitive. It's just what I feel like. So we did a big event last week. Depending on when this comes out, it could be months ago. But we did like this event that was for us. So I think this usually does events for brands and artists and launches. But we did this event, which was very much to celebrate the women that have been around me that I actually like. So I don't think there was a single person in that room that I wouldn't call a friend. Except like maybe like a few that I had just recently met. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I think you vibe. And they did. And they had a great time. But I don't like, we only invited like 30 people, and it was so authentic to what we do and what we wanted to do. We were just getting girls to get their nails done and just free alcohol and matchas and very, very low, like very low key. We weren't trying to like sell them a product or, you know, it wasn't one of those events. And I think that sort of stands out for me because I know where I have to put my time and energy. These women have helped me and are such a big part of who I think I am that if I don't do this to foster those relationships, like that's where I'm nurturing and caring about the women around me, mm-hmm. I'll never be able to build. Like, we are in such a community-driven industry. If you're not caring about your community, like, there's no point to all of it.
And I remember that event had a beauty twist. So yeah. Here comes my first beauty question. So yes. Pay attention.
Yeah, we totally do.
Almost as if there were 100 stories about it.
No, we totally didn't see them.
Yeah, okay, research, underground.
So, from a beauty perspective, I wanted to ask you, how did diverse cultural experiences start to shape your views on the beauty industry?
So I guess I've not had too many diverse cultural experiences when it comes to beauty specifically, but I think when I moved to UK, I had friends from other races and other backgrounds, and I realized that it's not just, oh, let's just get like an eyeliner. Because I think till I moved there, my go-to was just like dramatic eyes and like, everyone in Mumbai was like red lip, you know? And then you go there and you're like, wait, that doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And you need to figure out that there's so many things like different eye shapes and different skin tones and different hair care routines. And that's something that really like you internalize it. You're like, okay, cool. Cause also I'm a very like conventionally easy shade to get, you would think, but I have Indian undertones. So I don't get the right foundation that doesn't make me look white or like whitewashed. So when I started picking up on these nuances, I'm like, okay, I can have it even like 1% hard. I can't imagine how hard it is to actually get things for yourself to make you feel like everyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of moving to the UK though, what was the number one like Western beauty trend that you adopted? What would you say like was your... maybe your most major change in your routine after being there?
I think like blush probably. Like I was never really a blush girl. Like I was very much like bronzer and like snatched. And I'm like, no, it's cute. Like it makes you look glowy and young. And London's such a cold space that I get it, that people just want to look like they're always sun-kissed. So I think that probably.
Cool. Love that.
I love that too. And we love the blush.
Yeah.
We're always like, more blush, please. Because yeah. it just makes you feel good. It's like you're
it's like you're always blushing.
Exactly. Always and in the sun and everything. Obviously with beauty and beauty trends, and obviously you deal with many other trends in a lot of different industries, but you know, they evolve so quickly because of how we engage with social media in particular. And there are a lot of new subcultures that are forming in the space, like the 2000s is, I don't know when it's going to be out, to be honest, but it's back again. It's actually, every time I see anything from the 2000s, I'm like, why did I dress like that?
Yeah, true. So true. Like, do you remember footless leggings and mini skirts?
No.
Okay.
So we're just old.
I'm not that old.
Our age is showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was.
The 2000s for me is like when I was a baby. So it's like, oh my God. Not really.
We're going to end the podcast there. I'm done. I'm leaving. Sorry.
I know I come across like I'm way older, but I'm not.
So. I mean, you don't, but I was like, but you know. I was like,
I know the mini skirts, but the footless.
That was hideous. You know, you would mix them. You would mix them. People would mix them. Like you would have the footless leggings. So you're talking leggings until like here. Oh, three quarters.
Oh, like the like Hannah Montana stuff.
Yes, okay, the Hannah Montana vibes.
Grim. Okay, so you're not that young.
Okay, yeah.
So you're sorry, not that.
She takes it back.
We can continue.
From a beauty and fashion perspective, because I brought fashion into the mix as well. How do you see these subcultures like influencing mainstream people? Like, do you see any like niche trends trickling through from a mainstream perspective?
I mean, trends are supposed to do that, right? Like, I think the point is that I said this the other day, actually, I don't think trends like start or end. I think you just pick them out of a bunch of things that are going on already. So like when you have the clean girl aesthetic going on, that's not a trend. That's something somebody else does anyway. And it's just become a micro niche way of getting ready and somebody else has picked it up. So I think it's whatever companies and like organizations think that they can capitalize off, like, oh yeah, shit, my like Dewy highlighter isn't selling. Let's try and figure out how to make that a thing. So I really do look at these things as a very thought out PR strategy to get things to sell more. Like, it's a very capitalism mentality is how I see trends anywhere. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at the bigger picture, like, things come back. Like, every 7 years there's a repeat of what used to be cool, because nothing sells more than nostalgia. Like, nothing in the world sells more than nostalgia. So if you're making people feel familiar enough to be like, oh, do you remember that one thing we did like 6 years ago? It's coming back. Everyone was going to talk about it. So I think that's how it sort of starts and trickles itself into microtrends.
I feel like that's a really interesting perspective. But what about in India specifically? Because I feel like we still have trends that are very Western influenced here.
Yeah.
Like, it trickles down eventually. So yeah. What would you say that's like, having your feet in both worlds? Like, how do you balance it?
I don't think it's looked at as a Western trend anymore. Like, okay. I think people do adopt it to who they are, like, a lot over here. I think we don't have Indian trends that go viral, because that's not something you can relate to outside of India.
Yeah.
So I think there was that one really, really extreme one though recently.
The European wedding dress?
Yeah.
The European dress. Oh, but actually no. It was the Desi Shawl. Is that what we're talking about?
That yeah. also, but that was this like TikTok trend with like a whole, like the look was like a 360, I can't remember. There's like a 360 look, like where they have like a backdrop. Does anybody in the room know what I'm talking about? It was just like this actual, it's fine. We'll find it.
No, we'll find it and we'll air the clip in here.
Yeah.
You describe it for
us. Basically, it was just like a trend where like you go from, you know, keep getting ready, and every series is like, get you like every stage of the reel, you keep getting more and more dramatic with your look. And it's like an
is
Indian.
Is it the Ahsoka trend?
Yes, thank yeah. you. Oh my God.
Now I know what yes. you're talking about. Yes. The Ahsoka trend.
Yes. That, I think, got adopted everywhere, though.
Yeah.
But that is such a, like, oh, this is what people in India are like. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then it's like, everyone's in the same bucket. And obviously, they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, the song's like 20 years old.
Exactly.
Literally, wasn't it, was it Kareena Kapoor? No.
No, it's
wrong
even older.
Wrong person to ask. Wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the old
song. Yeah, it's an old song, though. I don't think that there's like a difference between Western and Indian trends, really, unless it's something that specific. I think trends are just sort of looked at as like, okay, this is on my reels, this is on my Instagram.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case.
So quite rapid. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's good to know that, like, you know, regardless of where you are, things will move quickly, because that is just the mindset we're in. And our attention spans are terrible now. So we need
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone follows everyone from around the world now. Like, I don't think it's like, I don't think anything is regional specific unless you're trying to make it.
Mm, true.
I think it's
very
just
true.
The amount of exposure you get is the same. Yeah. So,
absolutely. Apart from the fact that the algorithm knows where you are.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But yeah, it's true. I mean, there are influencers that I follow and love from all over the world. Actually,
exactly.
Most of the time, I don't even know where they're from.
No, same.
Like, and I'm currently really liking Australian fashion.
Yeah, I think Australian fashion's always ahead. I mean, they have to be, because they have summer before we do.
Yeah.
But they're the best.
Yeah.
They're the best. I used to order, like, everything from Tiger Mist.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that.
Yeah. Tiger Mist was a vibe.
Oh, my gosh, no. I definitely think, like, with influencer culture in particular, like, it is interesting, though, because it still does vary region to region. Like, even at, like, events and things like that, and how people interact. Like, personally, from what we've seen, it definitely feels like people want to mix more here. Like, it's
like with each other. Like, they're like happy to go up to each other and, you know, get to know each other or compliment each other. That was the most interesting. There were some influencers that were complimenting each other, like, oh, I saw your content, I love your content. Like, I felt like that was so cool.
And you think that doesn't happen?
Definitely not. I've never seen that happen in the UK.
No, genuinely, I haven't.
Okay,
either.
That makes more sense to like what I thought you guys meant earlier. But I feel that's actually the difference in culture, right? Like, we're a community culture, like, and UK is an individualistic culture. So that's a very off the bat how people behave here. Like, even if you go to like a wedding, everyone's gonna talk to everyone. So
wow, my social anxiety can't handle that.
Literally, like when it was like talk to everyone, her face
I
just went like
talk to who? People?
Literally. But no, that is actually interesting to spotlight like the community aspect of it. And is that why, like, when it comes to homegrown brands and working with them, like, there is more collaboration in that sense between them, like between like different artists or different brands that kind of work more cohesively?
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely like everyone wants to support. I don't know if everyone wants to support everyone, but everyone wants to look like they're supporting everyone, because community-based culture in India, even though it's community-based, it also means that you're doing it to show the rest of your community. So it's not always the authentic reasons why you would build something, is how I think. This is my controversial opinion.
That's good.
But I think the reason everyone collaborates here is because there's very few of us. Like, you guys are here for a week. If you guys were here for 4 weeks, you'd be seeing the same people 4 times.
Wow.
So it's very small, like, you run into the same people, because, like, we still forget that with India, only the top 10% have exposure and education. So those are the people that are building brands and doing things because they can. Mm-hmm. And so they all know each other because they probably, like, grew up in the same area, or, you know, so it's not as much to support as it is convenience.
Yep.
And I feel like that's why I disagreed with you guys earlier, because I feel like in the UK that happens more authentically, because you don't have that pressure to show people that you're collaborating or doing something. So it's more like, oh, if I actually fuck with you as a person, I'm gonna work with you. Mm-hmm. Which over here is not really the case. It's like, you kind of have to, if somebody else is telling you that, hey, you should work with this person.
You feel the pressure.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Speaking of pressure, and friendships and people. You have so many people on your roster. I'm sure your DMs are exploding. Mine are sometimes.
I was depending actually, on the context.
Right, right. But like I was looking through my WhatsApp inbox, and I'm embarrassed to say that I have over 100 unread messages.
Wow, so sorry if Trishna didn't get back to you.
Sorry, I'm just...
I get quick replies from Trisha, so I feel lucky.
Yeah, you get replies, But a lot of people don't. 106 of them, to be precise.
And they know who they are right now.
Yeah. It's probably going to increase as time goes on as well.
But that's Trisha's chats.
Yeah. But I'm just, like, really good at ghosting. And... in every context, like, I just have no guilty conscience when it comes to ghosting.
I know, that's always her advice. She's like, oh, someone's like annoying you or like whatever, just ghost them.
Just
it's
ghost
fine.
Them. It's fine. So that's my strategy. But I know that there is the term quiet quitting on friendships in particular.
Yeah.
And seeing as you're always around people, how do you manage that?
I was telling you guys earlier, I'm the queen of this. Like, I told you, I will not be friends with anybody I don't want to be friends with. Like, I can't do that at all. I don't reply to, like, DMs, nothing. But my advice is just, like, be like, I don't confront. I am the big quiet quitter. I'll just be like, yo, I'm so sorry, I'm really busy. I think before I left for London, I told a lot of people that I was already in London.
Oh.
So I, like, my strategy is like, oh, I'm just working, doing events. Like, I was out till, like, 5 yesterday, you know. Like, I just don't have the time to do this coffee or whatever. Or I'll be like, why don't I get in touch with you when I have some time?
Yeah.
And then that person will, it'll take a hit on their ego anyway.
Yeah.
So they will never get back in touch with you after that.
Oh.
It's the easiest way to do it.
You know what? That's way less savage than ghosting people.
Yeah, ghosting is a bit, I don't know.
I can't ghosting
ghost.
Harsh.
I can't ghost.
I
ghost only people that want to work with me. But I don't ghost friends. I'll just be like, even if I do, like, 2 months later, I'll be like, I'm so sorry, I genuinely was busy. But otherwise, I'll just be like, yo, why don't just give me some time? I'll text you when I have time.
Fair enough.
That's better to do it. So, Trishna, I'll text you when I have time, okay?
Yeah, okay. And I will just go.
Literally.
Do you feel like we're losing a sense of connection? I'll let Disha explain better.
So, yeah, I love it.
In
I
what saying, sense?
In every sense. I mean, I'm already losing connection with everyone at this point.
She's
like, I'm the ghoster, so I'm not the right person, but... No. Go on.
Yes, I will go on. So basically, in terms of how we use social media and like, because like, for example, like we go to events, we go out, we're doing things and we're like posting, or we're posting about our companies, which we all do, and things like that. And it's like we're almost sometimes living through a different lens, because it's not like on social media, it's quite curated, right? You're not going to see every moment of our day or whatever we're doing. So do you feel like because of the way that we're curating our online personas, that we're losing that connection with each other, because we're either having friendships that are meme based, which is fine, or we're almost like just in that cycle of like replying stories then to stories then actually checking in with people?
So I love that a lot, where like I can just know what my friends have been up to because I see their stories. Like I have like a close friends and a Finsta where I only like update people with my life, so I don't have to make those calls. Like when I broke up next, I'm like, I don't have to tell a million people. I'll just be like, hey, I'm not with him. You know, like I don't have to like
consciously uncoupling.
Yeah, I don't have to like do this entire, like be in touch with every single person. But that being said, I have a lot of friends that I don't like text. I just meet them. I have like a couple of my best friends. I hate what their social media is like. Like they're like low-key influencers and I just think it's so fake and so curated, but I know that they probably think that about myself. And so I have consciously muted them because I'm like, I want to maintain my relationship with this person, but I don't want to hate their online
stuff,
and I don't want that to like influence my opinion of them. So I don't think you're losing, as long as you're aware about it. Like if you know that, hey, my entire relationship with this person is just replying to their stories, then you know that that's what it is. Like then you don't dig deeper to want a bigger connection. But if you do want a bigger connection, call them or like be like, hey, just let's meet for coffee. Like my four people, like best friend group, we don't use our phones when we're with each other. And that's a very conscious thing because all of us are working in the similar industries and it's a very like conscious, let's not talk about work, let's not do this. So if you want those connections, I don't think they're dying out. I think they just need more effort.
Yeah, well, people work really hard here, like in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I found it wild when like people were like, oh, just WhatsApp them.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you can't do that. And they were like, yeah, you can. Like, that's the way it works here. Like, if you want to get in touch with somebody, you WhatsApp them.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it's so different to the UK. Where,
yeah,
like,
nobody shares
no.
their number.
And like, I even have like a separate WhatsApp number that's different to my number.
I just got one, literally.
Yeah, just so everybody can't constantly reach me.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, that's just the way it works. So it's even more of an effort, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, to actually consciously be like, okay, let's put our phones away and let's chat, because we're always on 24/7 now.
Yeah, and there's no boundaries. Like we don't have 9 to 6 as a concept in India. Like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like you have to just get the work done. But obviously, like there's so much, I'm not gonna get into it, but there's so much to unpack as first world and third world countries. Everyone's fights here are a little bit harder and all that. So you can't have that boundary based system at all. But I think I don't think we're losing connection. I think we are lazy.
Okay.
I think people are just like, I like that person's story. They know, like, I know that, like, if I want to, like, if somebody's interested in me, it's like 3 likes on a story. I'm like, that's not telling me anything.
No, literally, like, the likes is the worst though, because it's like, do you have something to say? Like, what is the feature actually is like my least favorite.
I wish she took it out. I actually wish she took it out because I miss people like replying to me,
and
like
actually,
DMing me. I remember like a couple of days ago, I put on my clothes. I was like, you guys can still tell me, like comment that I look good on something.
Yeah.
Like you don't just need to like a post. So yeah, I think we should just be more verbal.
Definitely, even with social media, because like obviously you still can be verbal on social media.
Yeah.
You still can compliment someone. You don't have to send them some like button so they can see that you saw it, like acknowledged, okay, thank you. Oh my god, you're a liker.
I do that all the time.
No, I mean, so am I. I don't really want them to take it out.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
I mean, I like everything, so I just,
but
I just wish there was more said in those moments, you know, when someone accomplishes something or does something amazing.
But you can, because I know that I reply to people that always text me. Like if somebody's always messaging me like, oh, you look so good here, congratulations, I'm so proud of you, I will make sure that I'm doing the same thing back.
Oh.
So I think it's just a conscious effort situation. But I also have to do this.
Yeah.
So If I was running a product-based business, you would not hear from me. I would be out of
work. So. I think it's also just my personality.
Yeah, your personality and mine is like night and day. Yeah. As you know, having spent time with us.
Very much so. Okay, now we have our final three questions for you.
Yes.
Pretty rapid. The first is, what is your favorite beauty trend of the moment?
I don't know. I'm not a beauty trend person. I just sort of, this is hard. I think blush. Liquid blush. I hate powder blushes. I love everything liquid.
Yeah.
Is like only setting powder needs to be powder.
Perfect.
I think everything else should be liquid.
I love that. Because it's more like dewy.
Yeah. It's more like just put it on and you don't have to look a bit. And also it's always hot here, so powder always looks a bit cracked.
That is so true. I forgot about the humidity, you know.
Yeah, like I fixed my hair like 5 times already.
So what is your must-have beauty hack? Like what's the one thing that you always have to do?
Oh, like my mascara. I don't leave my house without putting on mascara. And if I do, I'll literally go back home. Like I was late for the event yesterday because I didn't have mascara on me.
Wow. I'm not even lying.
Like I can't leave without mascara. And lip gloss, so.
Two things.
I love it.
And the last one, what is your biggest beauty regret?
My biggest beauty?
Regrets.
Ooh. I used to like do a lot of foundation when I was younger and like the Kylie Jenner lip kits.
Okay.
And I looked really pale and like emo and just like dead skeleton because I didn't bronze my face or anything. So yeah, that like the lip kits and the foundation should have not been a thing.
So 2016 era, we're talking.
Yeah.
I miss that. I wish that didn't exist. Like the whole Kylie Jenner era did not exist.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Super interesting. So before we end, we're just going to do a quick little
most excited about
card reading for you with our deck, which you have now as well. And it is beauty inspired, of course, because you know that's our whole vibe.
Do you guys run like a company or something?
I have no idea.
In the beauty industry.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Imagine.
Crazy.
Wild.
That's why we talk about beauty all the time. So basically with the cards, they are obviously beauty inspired because we cannot do beauty, but also ties into the spiritual element of things. So we're going to give you a little message for the rest of your day/weekend.
Yes.
And see what comes out.
Excited. I need all the luck and hope I can get for this.
Yes, definitely. So basically I'm going to knock them, and you always should knock them because there's always stagnant energy like in rooms and in places. So that's like the first thing you always have to do. Otherwise your reading won't be as good.
Okay, noted.
So I'm going to do a single card for you.
Okay, I'm scared. Like nervous.
What's it gonna say?
I know, it's like you're gonna have the worst weekend of your life. I'm like, oh my god, I have an event. I mean, you guys have made the cards.
So they're very honest.
They're too honest.
You have to say stop.
I say when. It's the feeling. Ooh, you got a directional card. So this is a bigger meaning card.
Okay.
So you got the spiritual warrior, which means now is the time to connect more with your spiritual self. So just to take a break and kind of tune out and think more about, and it doesn't have to be like whatever spirituality means for you. It's completely up to interpretation in that way. So whether it is as extreme as I am with it, or just taking out some time for self-care, just to kind of reconnect, ground, basically don't work too hard is what this is telling you.
I was just thinking
you.
I'm getting a vacation, like just booking one. This is a sign.
It's a push. Yeah,
it is. It's a push. But no, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
I love talking to you
guys. That was so fun.
So fun.
Thank you.
Amazing.